Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Fantastic. Well, it's great to be here. Great to be ministering. It's good to be here. My wife and I both serve on the kids team. We've got four little ones ourselves, so every day is kids team for us. But usually one of us is in there, but it's great to be here and to be ministering on this day, Pentecost Sunday. Come on. I'm excited. I hope you are too. Pentecost Sunday. It's an exciting day. Well, I want to welcome you if you've been here for as long as the chairs have been here, or if you're new to this church, I want to welcome you. It's going to be a fantastic day. If you're watching online, I want to welcome you as well. And I believe that God can touch you online as well. Or if you're watching the service afterwards, it's going to be fantastic. Well, we are one church across four locations across Sydney. And our vision and our mission for this city is one. We want to see this city a city for Christ. And today, across all our locations, we are looking at the book of Acts. We're in this series, Go Into All the World. Why don't you say that after me? Go into all the world. And one of the ways, you know, church, that we go into all the world is through vision builders, isn't it? And look, we might not be able to do it. We might not be as fortunate as these amazing students who are going to go to Sri Lanka, amazing guys, but we can empower and fund our church doing activities like this by giving to vision builders. And our vision builders dinner is a really special night for our church. It's one of only two times during the year that our whole church gathers together. We're going to be in the ICC on Friday night, 20th of June. If you haven't registered yet, can I encourage you to do so today? Do so by at the very latest, by Friday, because that's when RSVPs close, okay? You won't be able to get in after that. So get your connect groups together, get your teams together, family, friends. Let's all gather together. Let's have a great night celebrating what God is doing through our church. Go into all the world. In Mark 16, 15, Jesus gave this command to his disciples. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. In Matthew 28, 19, 18 and 19, the Great Commission, Jesus says to them, all authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth. You know, when we pray for people, we pray with the authority of Jesus. He says right here, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. His name. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Therefore, go. What is the purpose of us going into the world? Is the purpose of us going into the world to talk about politics, to discuss the latest AI trends? Is the purpose for us as believers going into the world to talk about world affairs, about what's going on in our life? No, it's about Jesus. Our true north is about Jesus. Every person you meet, you've got an opportunity to preach Jesus. Every time you're interacting with someone, our true north as believers must be to preach the good news of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ. And the big point that we want to get in this series is that it's the Holy Spirit who gives us the grace and the power to share the good news of Jesus with the world around us. It's Him. It's the Holy Spirit. It's because of the day of Pentecost that we are enabled, we are empowered, and we are emboldened to go and preach the gospel to all creation. What does Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? In John 16, he says this. He says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he makes known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he makes known to you. You know, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he's speaking what Jesus has told him to say to you. When you hear from the Holy Spirit, it's our King of Kings speaking to you. Jesus has told the Holy Spirit to deliver that message to you. And Jesus communicates with us through the Holy Spirit in the same way that he communicated with the disciples in person. This is why in that passage, he uses the Greek word parakletos. It's the advocate. In some translations, it's called the helper. The disciples understood that this meant one who is just like Jesus, one who is close by and who makes the right decisions for us. We can trust the Holy Spirit. We can trust the Holy Spirit. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit. What better day to be preaching this than Pentecost Sunday? We are in the book of Acts. And let's remember that we look at Acts as a continuation from the book of Luke. Luke to Acts in full. We see it as a story of the disciples receiving what Jesus had received in order to do the same thing that Jesus did. They received the same spirit of power that Jesus moved in order to preach the gospel, preach the good news, and to heal the sick and perform miracles the same way Jesus did when he was with them. Pentecost, 7 weeks after the resurrection of Jesus. In Acts 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each other. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Today, at the end of this service, when we pray for you, the ministry team is going to pray for you, the Connect Group leader is going to pray for you, and I know that the Holy Spirit will fill you afresh, just like he filled the disciples, as the way he filled the believers in that upper room. He will fill you afresh today. He will give you what you need for you to be an effective minister of the gospel in your community, in your world, exactly what you need. This is where the disciples were filled, in that upper room. In Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus had told his disciples, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. The Holy Spirit's arrival is part of the new covenant promise. Just like the death and resurrection of Jesus, part of that promise is the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you what the Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. You know the significance of that? Well, we read that and we go, okay, stay in the city, sure. Okay, we're living after it, so we get it. We're like, how did any of them not stay, knowing what was coming? But during that time, Passover, the festivals, the Pentecost festival, it was a pilgrim festival. The people in Israel would make pilgrimages to Jerusalem, and once it was over, it was custom just to go straight back home. So you've got to understand that the believers have all come and gathered there in Jerusalem. And in their calendar, they're thinking, we're just going to go straight back home. Their families are going to go back home. But Jesus says, no, stay. Wait here. So the very act of them staying is obedience to Christ over social pressure. Over the social pressure. What are you doing staying here? We've got to go back. We've got to look after the kids. We've got to get back to work. We've got to get on with things. No. Jesus said, wait. So I'm going to wait. Obedience to Christ. And then in Acts 1:8, Luke recalls that Jesus had told them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. The purpose of us receiving the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit is not for us just to have a warm, fuzzy feeling inside us. It's not just for us to have fun within these four walls. It's for us to be effective ministers and witnesses in your Jerusalem, in your Judea, in your Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's for us to become effective ministers, whatever that means for you in this season and throughout different seasons of life. That changes. Sometimes we need a bit more boldness. I was just talking to my good friends Tristan and Vanessa. Their son Judah is in the same year as my son Joey, and they were just telling me how Judah has been inviting all of his mates from school, all of he and Joey's mates from school, to come to church. It's amazing. I want Judah to lay hands on me and all of us. So as a child, we have a boldness to do those things But as we grow up, things change. And in different seasons of life, we need a different type of empowerment to get over our own shortcomings and to be effective witnesses for Jesus. Remember, our main point is that the Holy Spirit gives us the grace and the power to share the good news of Jesus with the world around us. The word grace, in Ephesians 2:8, where it's used for our salvation, we are saved by grace through faith. It means unmerited favor. We haven't had to do anything to receive salvation. It's a free gift of God. It also means supernatural empowerment. When the Greek word charisma is used and translated into grace, it means the divine empowerment to share God's work with others. So for the disciples, they totally understood what the purpose of the Holy Spirit was. It was for them to have someone close by them, just like Jesus, to empower them to do the things that Jesus had commissioned them to do. And we know the Great Commission is to make disciples of all nations. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot do that. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot be effective ministers. It's like you having a problem with your plumbing at home and calling your plumber to come out. And he comes out and he hasn't brought any tools. And you say, well, how are you going to fix this? You don't have any tools. I don't know. For us as believers to go and to try to be effective witnesses without the Holy Spirit, we're trying to do something without the power and the tools that we need to do it. That's why it's part of the whole package, salvation and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's why when Philip, we heard about Philip the other day, when he caught up to the Ethiopian leader in the chariot, remember how Pastor Al was explaining that the other day? He said, have you received the Holy Spirit? It's so important. And if you read through the book of Acts, whenever the disciples meet believers, they ask, have you received the baptism of the Spirit? Because they know how important the baptism of the Spirit. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit. It's the supernatural ability to overcome our own shortcomings and to go into all the world. The disciples knew that. And to be miracle-working preachers of the good news and to bring people to Jesus. For some of us in certain seasons, it might just be to be emboldened to speak the word. For others in certain circumstances, it may be to pray for the sick and to see people healed. It's this power that caused Peter to go from the person who was ashamed of Jesus, when Jesus has been captured, he's being questioned, and Peter is sitting in the shadows with a whole bunch of people he shouldn't have surrounded himself with. And they say, aren't you one of those disciples? Aren't you one of those people, youth, at school? Aren't you one of those people who goes to that church down with the orange roofs down there? Aren't you one of those guys? And Peter's ashamed. Peter says, no, that's not me. You must be thinking of someone else. Three times. He's so ashamed. He's been with Jesus. He's been in Jesus' presence. He's been commissioned by Jesus. Yet he's so ashamed to associate himself with Jesus. Ashamed to associate himself with that crew. Fast forward to the day of Pentecost, and he receives in the upper room the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And on that same day, he is so emboldened that he preaches to everyone there. 3,000 people get saved and receive Christ on that day, and the church is born. What is it that turns someone from being a timid person, ashamed of Jesus, to being so bold that he preaches, knowing that it could cost him his life, but he doesn't care anymore because he is emboldened by the power of the Holy Spirit? That same power is a power that lives inside you and I. It's the same power that causes us to pray for the sick, to lay hands on people and believe that miracles are going to happen. Not because of anything we do, but because of the power that is evidence of the authority of the name of Jesus. That's what it is. And that's why it's important. That's why Pentecost is important. That's why the gift of the Holy Spirit is so important. It's because the world needs a church who understands the power and the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. Come on. The world needs, your world, the people around you need you and I to be empowered and emboldened by the Holy Spirit. A church that walks in the power of the Holy Spirit. All of us on mission together. Every church in this city on mission, knowing who the Holy Spirit is, knowing who Jesus is, knowing the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. We've looked at a number of different characters during this series. Characters in the book of Acts and how they are empowered by the Holy Spirit to become effective ministers for Christ. And that's what we all are. You are all ministers. You know that. It's not just us up here. You are all ministers of the gospel. We've looked at Philip, home team Philip, who chased down the chariot. We've looked at Barnabas as well. Today, in the remaining time that we have, we're going to look at Timothy. The first time we hear about Timothy is in Acts chapter 16. It says, Paul came to Derbe, and then he went to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area. How's that for an invitation to travel? Paul doesn't say, I'll cover your airfares. He says, we're getting the scalpel out, you know, so as not to be an offense to the Jews. This was how sold out they were for the gospel. They traveled from town to town and delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. The reason why we want to look at Timothy on today, the day of Pentecost, is because we want to see how the Holy Spirit makes a timid man called Timothy able to do far more than he could have on his own. Let's look at his background a bit. We see from this passage that he is of a mixed heritage. He has a Jewish mother who's a believer. His father is a Greek. He has a good reputation. He's submitted to the mission, as we can see. He's reliable and faithful, and he's fruitful as well. He ends up becoming one of Paul's greatest and most trusted companions. He delivers messages from Paul to the churches throughout Asia, through Philippi, Thessalonica, and Corinth. Now, Paul calls him my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. And in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, he says, my true son in the faith. Their relationship was more than just professional. It was a deeply connected relationship of a spiritual father and a spiritual son. And you know what I love about that? It's a picture for us when we're all on mission together. It's a picture of us. It doesn't matter what background we're from, how old we are, what stage of life we're at, but when we are on mission together, there's a bond between us. Other communities around can give us certain things, but this community right here, the Word of God describes it as a family and as a body, and we function together when we're on mission with each other. It's a bond that can't be replicated anywhere else. As Timothy grew, so did his responsibilities. And Paul began sending him to churches to represent him, often in really difficult situations where there was strong or difficult leadership that was needed. He stuck through Paul through difficult times, through his imprisonment, and Paul trusted him so much that he left Timothy in charge of the church at Ephesus, which was one of the largest, if not the largest church there in the region. As we travel through 1 and 2 Timothy, I want to land briefly now in 2 Timothy. In the first chapter, verses 6 to 8. And it says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. If you read that first chapter of 2 Timothy, there's 18 verses in total. You take out the first two or so greeting verses, and there's 16 verses. Paul tells Timothy four times in the space of that 16 verses, not to be ashamed. Four times, 25% of that first chapter of his letter to Timothy is a reminder. Do not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of me. It's a reminder. Now, there's no letter where Timothy writes to Paul and says, I'm ashamed, I'm struggling with this. But given the nature of their relationship, that spiritual father-son relationship, a father knows what these kids are going through, right? Paul would have seen the struggles, would have seen that this Timothy's got a great call on his life. He's got an incredible, I can see him leading this church, but there's something holding him back. There's something causing him to be a bit ashamed of the gospel, and I'm going to lay hands on him so that he can receive boldness. I remember back, way back in 1999 when I first stepped foot in this building. Is that young people laughing at me over there? Yeah. I was 18 years old, and it was Father's Day. My parents had been coming to this church for about 6 months at that stage. And on Father's Day, my dad said, look, as a Father's Day present, I want you kids to come to church with us. It was myself and my two children. My two sisters. Dad brain. And I remember thinking, sure, you know, nothing's going to change. That's fine. Like, I'm already a Christian. I was brought up in a Christian home. Nothing's going to change. But when I came in here, something did change. Because around me, I saw a group of people who were Christians the way I thought I was a Christian, but who seemed to be a lot freer in their Christianity. People who seemed to be a lot more connected to this God who I knew about. I didn't know him. And on that day, it was the first time that the concept of a relationship with Jesus was spoken to me. And I remember when the call went out, my hand went straight up. I knew I had to receive Christ. And so I received Jesus on that day. And you know, I was not a timid 18-year-old. I was in a number of different leadership positions at school. I would speak to people. I speak at assembly, all sorts of things regularly. So I wasn't timid. I wasn't a timid or shy 18-year-old. But when it came to this topic, when it came to telling my mates that I'd started going to church, I was a bit like Peter was. I was like, no, I don't really, I'm a bit ashamed. I don't know that I really want to be associated in public with Jesus. There was something in me that wanted to. I wanted to have that freedom. I wanted to have that boldness, but there was something holding me back. And it wasn't until the following January where I came to a Phenomena conference and Pastor Benny Perez from the US laid hands on me and a whole bunch of other people. And he specifically prayed for people, for young people, to receive the Holy Spirit and to be bold witnesses. And from that moment onwards, when I received the Holy Spirit, I was no longer ashamed. It wasn't because anything had changed in my theology. It wasn't because I had learnt more. It wasn't because of anything else apart from the fact that I received the Holy Spirit, that I suddenly was not ashamed to tell my friends, yeah, I go to church, I follow Jesus, I read my Bible, I pray. And so it's the power of the Holy Spirit that does this. You know, that story might resonate with some people here today. And I want you to know that today's your day. Today is your day when we lay hands on you, that a boldness is going to come upon you because of the Holy Spirit. Let's look closely at verses 6 and 7. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Paul tells Timothy to fan into flame or to stir up. That's what that word means, to stir up. We need to stir up the gift that is inside us through the laying on of hands. The word that's used there for gift is again that word charisma. So Paul's reminding Timothy of the supernatural miracle-working power that is in him because he he laid hands on him. And I want to remind you that that same power is in you. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside you and me. And you can walk with boldness. The church can walk with boldness knowing that that power is inside us. Take the pressure off. It's not based on your performance. It's based on the name of Jesus. When we pray for people, it's not based on how well you pray. It's not based on how long you've been praying that week. It is in the authority of the name of Jesus. Come on. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift that's inside you. We need to stir it up daily. I want to invite the band back up right now. Verse 7, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. The Holy Spirit does not make us timid, fearful, or ashamed. Rather, He has given us power, love, and self-discipline. He's given us power, the dynamis miracle-working power, for the demonstration of the authority of the name of Jesus. He's given us love, His agape love, as our motivation when we go out into the world. So when we're praying for people, when we're witnessing to people, it's not to win an argument, it's because we love them. And self-discipline for our own preservation, so that you and I, as disciples of Christ, have the strength of character on the inside to be bold and humble in the exercise of the power and authority that is in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.